with it. Hello and welcome to another Mumbrella podcast. My name is Nick Christensen and we're here in a burger joint in New York. And basically we're talking about the new fronts. I'm here with Jack Smythe and John Dawson, who have been attending a number of the events as well. Guys, welcome.
Welcome, welcome.
Hello, thank you.
Last time we did a podcast, it was right after the Hulu presentation. This time around, we've now been to what, YouTube,
Vice,
Time Warner, Full Screen. You guys went to the IAB lunch. Highlights? What stands out? I mean, YouTube's obviously one of the biggest presentations of the week, or the top fortnight.
Absolutely. I thought YouTube was particularly interesting too, because it was the opposite of everything we'd seen in that first week, which is essentially, we're going to create video content because we don't have the audience and you need to be within premium video content. And YouTube, of course, is where a lot of that content exists and it's watched. So their sponsor is simply buy more DoubleClick. You know, like, we actually have all that video content, so we own the platform, the audience. All you need to do is put your money into that environment and you then are surrounded with great content. It's like the old publisher model, but in a totally new company.
And that's the phrase that stuck with us was ease of planning.
Ease of planning.
That came up a couple of times, and that's all it is, because if you're over here, you're dealing with budgets in the hundreds of millions, and it's just, I can run it through DoubleClick, I can reach the audience across multiple devices and the content that they're watching. I think what was interesting this year in terms of the product stuff was that breakthrough YouTube partner play, so that you could then, you know, with breakthrough clips that are trending, you know, really hot.
Well, this is the interesting question, because that sort of sports content is premium video, right? That is stuff that people want to watch and will seek out. And that's the stuff that everyone else is talking about. Whereas YouTube has traditionally been, you know, five tips from a blogger you've never heard of, right? It's a very different situation of user-generated content to premium video. They're really making that move in there.
Yeah, but it's fun. They had the Brandcast, they had a lot of their YouTube creators there as well. And Jack and I, incorrectly arrived an hour early. We'd love to be on time. So we arrived an hour early, we're walking down the red carpet, and they had, like, they just bust in, you know, like, maybe like 200 YouTube fans.
Yep.
Who was like walking down the...
Were you getting yelled at on the red carpet?
We were.
Because they thought you were YouTube creators.
So did Google. When we arrived at the end of the red carpet, like, are you creators? And it was a very sad day when we said no.
You didn't want to say that, you know, you've got this new YouTube channel through Emma and, you know, you've got these great videos on.
I mean, we had a GoPro. We could have made a quarter of a mil that night.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, I went to the Time Warner thing, and that was interesting because they got really upset at YouTube and tried to reframe the whole debate, saying that, you know, if Facebook was a YouTube channel, if Facebook was a TV network, it would be at 157th. YouTube would be, you know, down there as well. Twitter was nowhere. And they were trying to basically take on the online video industry. But, you know, from a buyer's perspective, do you buy that, right? Like, they should be counting it by the minute of viewing audience. That seems to me to be cutting it the way that you will best, not, you know.
I think, yeah, it's trying to make an apple and orange smoothie. Right? And that's one of the big themes of this week is everyone's trying to compare themselves against TV or against a big digital player, but you're still talking different metrics, different ways of viewing. Like, the way you watch TV is vastly different to the way you go onto YouTube to consume content. So, yeah, I wouldn't go for that comparison.
Jody?
No, also because it's almost... it almost denies the existence of that video-on-demand behaviour, because, of course, it's not going to be a live minute-by-minute thing because you have a consumer-first active, you know, activation of when you want to watch, and that's just a different dynamic between the digital TV divide.
It's interesting to see the tensions playing out here. I feel like we'll see them play out at home as well.
Yeah.
See this brawl over what's the metric, how do we count it, TV's bigger, but we can find the right, you know, like, there's just some really interesting tensions going on. Talk about Vice. I think some of the people who may have watched Mumbrella will have seen you, certainly JD, bopping away at the concert, thanks to Jack. Nice to film. What did you make of Vice? And they were very, you know, we're growing, we've got the youth audience. If there was one presentation that kind of went, we are millennials, it was them.
Vice are the coolest safe buy you could make. Like, it was something that was interesting, you know, when we were lining up in Chelsea Piers next to a golf driving range. So you had, you know, a few hundred media buyers lining up to get into a Vice presentation while there were people in khaki, you know, practicing their putting. And there's almost something about that. It's just like, you know, there is this, they get their brand as Vice. They have a really strong mark in culture. It's reminded me of the Refinery29 as well. You know, we're talking about in terms of their news product, they have a really strong cultural opinion on where they stand for news, for music, for fashion, and that has real value because there's not that, well, there's not a value in being generic anymore because yeah. that it doesn't give you a premium audience, I guess.
Yeah, but the duplicity is breathtaking. Like, in all serious, you know, you got Shane Smith saying, yeah, our salespeople are out there wearing wigs, essentially ridiculing them. But of course, it's packed with vice salespeople.
Yeah.
Because they want to pound the flesh. They want to get some checks signed.
Well, and they spend a lot of money on entertainment and exactly. on a big fancy party. Like, you know, their party and AOL could have been the two biggest, right?
Yeah.
They spent a lot of money.
In terms of talent, definitely.
Yeah, in terms of trying to captivate the audience, get the attention of US media buyers. And that's clearly a signal of intent of what they're doing globally.
But also, yeah. I think it was interesting, like, if there's anyone that understood about just, you know, you have to be different to be memorable, to stand out, and you have to do something almost shocking to get noticed in such a fragmented market now, is Shane Smith. I mean, he was lying on the ground acting, like, he wasn't wasted.
No.
But he was just, you know, lying on the ground introducing it. And I think if you're a media buyer here, you go to 30 presentations or something, like... They stand out.
But again, it's masterful marketing. Like, yeah. Viceland, the numbers aren't as impressive as they expected. You know, they bundle their numbers with a whole bunch of other sites to inflate the figures. Yeah, of course they're going to just resort to the cult of personality. Mm. Because if you actually sat down and tried to go through it, yeah, you might reconsider your level of investment to a degree.
Yeah. And we should also talk about Full Screen. You guys went to that again, very millennial focused.
Oh, yes.
It's like it's a rare breed of animal that you can't quite find.
Absolutely, yeah. It's like gorillas in the mist. You find, millennials hiding out there. And only years of careful observation can reveal that they're interested in video content. Full Screen was similar to a whole bunch of providers, really. They essentially are an influencer network. They have a whole bunch of influencers who create interesting content, they bundle it up, and they sell it on to advertisers. So they talk about it as a network, and theirs was a mix of action sports, and they're more kind of female, original, scripted content.
That's a good description. I think what's interesting as well is you know, the counterpoint of that versus YouTube, because, you know, we said this in the last podcast, but it's all about owning that distribution network. YouTube owns it, so you can just go straight, just buy our ads, you'll get the audience done. Whereas these other players who do have, you know, who do rely on integration and more sponsorship-based activity, you know, to get your brand into the actual content before the ad, or after the ad.
They're in a more vulnerable position, aren't they?
Yeah, I would say they are. And again, to the metrics conversation earlier, I mean, they talk about, they have an original series with an influencer about her going back to high school. They talk about it getting 13 million views. And then they say, you know, Pretty Little Liars on TV gets 2 million viewers on average per episode. But they're comparing then total views, and maybe not even total unique views, over an entire series to unique viewers on one episode of a series at a certain point in time.
Right.
So it's like...
They're doing exactly what the TV networks are doing, and you're going, you can't cut it like that either,
exactly,
guys.
You can't. But then, yeah, again, a lot of chest beating.
All right, and finally, the IAB lunch. There's some interesting things. I mean, it feels like we're coming away from, 2 weeks now, it's the continued pursuit of millennials, because apparently we can't find them anywhere.
No.
So if you see a millennial, let us know.
Yeah.
Video as the panacea to it all?
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone's talking about video to varying degrees, whether it's premium because they don't have display revenue anymore, or whether it's just we aggregate video and that's where all the attention is, so you should be there anyway.
Yeah, and JG, you were mentioning incrementalism in terms of how frustrating it is that everyone seems to think they have the answer.
Yeah, but it's just these marginal gains, right? So it's like, oh, we're, you know, we get 1% click-throughs, which is 10 times as good as the, you know, average for display, but it's still... It's still quite, you know, I'm trying to find a word for it. It's still, you know, alarming almost that there's so much, there's such a fall off between exposure and then an action.
Yeah.
And I think that then what's interesting is comparing that to the start of the week and, you know, those premium video suppliers, they were talking in very, very different terms rather than the sort of incremental percentage point topics. You know, they didn't even mention that stuff. They're just talking about, come along with us, get in our content, give your brand along to these incredible creators, and then, you know, they'll, you know, be your brand for you almost.
All right. guys, thank you very much. We're off to the Daily Mail presentation, and keep reading Umbrella to get more from the news. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.